Luke chapter 5, we're going to begin in verse number 1. Let's all stand. Luke chapter 5 and verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him," of course the hymn is Jesus here, "to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust him out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. When he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word I will let down the net. And when they had done, when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. He was astonished, and all that were with them, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from thenceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this portion of Scripture. And Lord, we want to, from time to time, just come to the pulpit and stir something up in the hearts of Christians. Lord, I need this stirred. I believe everybody that's saved from time to time needs a preacher to go to the pulpit and just stir up in their hearts and a new concern for souls. Again, to lay the challenge out, the necessity, Lord, to reach men, women, children, teenagers for the Lord. I would ask, God, that you would help us to get some instruction tonight so that we might be better witnesses for you. And, Lord, that we would see a greater and greater harvest of souls, Lord, in these, the last of the last days. Help us to be busy. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I'm taking a little time off from our study in 1 Corinthians just this week, and felt impressed all week long that the Lord would have me do this. It's very important, folks. Look right up here. It's very important that we as a church stay stirred up about this matter of reaching people for Jesus Christ. I want to remind you of the importance of that. I want to tell you, we can't slack off. We can't back up. We can't slow down. People need the gospel. People need to be reached. And I want you to take some time. And again, I don't come to the pulpit during times like this to put you on a guilt trip. I think God sends me to the pulpit so that you can have a personal checkup time. But honestly, it's amazing as I look in my Christian life how easy it is for me to just slowly cool off in this matter of a burden for souls. And not maybe witness as aggressively, not maybe pass out that extra tracker, go and hit that extra house. And I think from time to time we need to be stirred up. We need to be honest with the Holy Spirit. Search me, O Lord, and try my heart. And search me, O Lord, and try my thoughts. See if there be any wicked way in me. And we can just get away from witnessing. We cool down in our burden. I love this portion of Scripture because Jesus enlists some fishermen to stay fishermen, but instead of going after fish, to go after men. I'm thankful that I was brought up in a church where our pastor kept this idea of winning souls in front of us a lot. I'm glad that when I was in the youth group, it was taught and it was kept in front of us a lot. I'm glad that that just stayed priority one while I was growing up here at this church. I can still remember when John Himes was just a young kid, literally a young kid, and he came on deputation and spoke to our youth department. And I don't know why, but sometimes I told our kids in chapel this today, I said, you know, sometimes without warning in what might seem like just a normal, regular service, God comes in and does something in your heart that will last a lifetime, and you never know when that's going to happen or what service. That's why I'd be scared to miss church. I wouldn't flippantly miss church. I wouldn't. Because you may miss the very message that you needed that you would carry the rest of your life and could change your life. But we were in a youth training hour, a 6 o'clock youth training hour, and he came down and spoke to the teens, and he probably didn't think a whole lot about it, but he was telling in his introductory comments and spoke on the importance of getting the gospel to lost people, and just spoke in his introductory comments about how he was staying in a motel here in the area, and he was getting ready to come to church, and he came outside a little bit early to get some things out of the car and seen some teenage boys, and went over and sat down with them and took his Bible and began to share the gospel with them, and got to win, I can't remember, he won one or two teenage boys to Christ. And I remember as a teenager sitting there thinking to myself, man, I have never done that. And how neat would that be to one time be able to open the Bible and share with somebody how to be saved, and to watch God do a work of grace in their heart, and to see them pray and receive Christ as their Savior. To think that I got in on that. I had a little part in that. And I don't know what else he taught or a whole lot of what else he said, but I know God kept that in my heart. And I remember that night praying in my heart, Lord, before I die, I would like to at least one time win somebody to Jesus Christ. Now, I'm sorry, but my goals just weren't real lofty back then. But for somebody who has never won somebody, that is a lofty goal. And it was important to me. And I remember from that day forward, I really began to seek opportunity and look more diligently and begin to, in a process of time, go and become more deeply involved in the soul winning ministries here at the church. And you know what? God heard that prayer of faith, and God answered that prayer of faith. And there was a day in my life when I was able to win my first soul to Jesus Christ. I could tell you where I was. I could tell you the guy's name. I could tell you all about it. But it's a wonderful thing to be able to win somebody to Christ. And so I think that there's no better place to learn how to be a soul winner than to go and study the life of the master soul winner, Jesus Christ. At the end of this story, Jesus comes to some fishermen and says, hey, from now on, you need to follow me, and I will teach you, I will make you fishers of men. And I don't know if they realized it or not, but those men, those disciples, already had gotten their first fishing lesson from Jesus Christ right here in this story. I want to just share with you, and I pray God will use us to stir our hearts. I'm looking, and we're getting ready next month to go into revival meeting, then after that into our harvest days in October, and we're going to try to do all that we can to reach more and more people for Jesus Christ. And I felt like the timing of this was right, so I want to talk to you about this and share some Bible principles from this story that might help you to be more effective at becoming a fisher of men. Let me give you the first thought here. Number one, you cannot catch fish if you're not fishing. You cannot catch fish if you're not fishing. Now, Jesus borrowed a ship here, and he used the ship to preach in, and he came back, and the men were on the shore, and they were washing out their nets. And I promise you this, when you're on the shore and you're not fishing, you're not going to catch a fish. Now, don't miss this. Spreading the gospel is a command for every Christian. This isn't just for men that Jesus wanted to turn into fishers of men. Jesus, I believe, left us a commission in Matthew chapter 28. And I believe it's for every Christian. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. How about Mark 16:15? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Luke 24:46, repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations. Acts 1:8, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. Jesus commanded these men, launch out into the deep and let your nets for a drop. Let down your nets for a drop. So this is something that we need to say from the pulpit. Please hear me. If you ain't fishing, you ain't catching fish. And if you're not fishing, you're living in disobedience. Every single Christian ought to be active in getting the gospel to lost people. You ought to be busy fishing. Now, if you never fish, folks, it's not rocket science. You're not going to catch a fish. You know, I can, about a month and a week, deer season's going to open. A lot of the guys around here like deer hunting. If I come to you about August 30th, 1st of November, and I know you're a bow hunter and I know you got a bow, and I come to you about August 30th and bow hunting's been in for an entire month, and I say, hey, have you got your deer yet? If you tell me, well, you know what, I haven't even gone out yet, then you don't have to tell me whether or not you got a deer or not. Unless you're driving down the road and you get a deer like a few people in our church have gotten a deer. It is possible to not go in the woods. Could I say this? They call that an accident. And yes, if you just never go soul winning, I'm not saying in your lifetime you might not accidentally get a chance to win someone to Christ. But let me share something with you. The best way to get a deer is to go hunting. And the best way to get a fish is to go fishing. And the best way to win souls is to go soul winning. And so you cannot catch a fish if you're not fishing. Let me give you this one. Here's a second thought. Excuses never caught a fish. Excuses never caught a fish. Now Jesus asks or commands them. He says, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now verse 5, and Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all night and have taken nothing. You know what? I do appreciate the fact that he followed up that statement. Nevertheless, at thy word. But you know what? First of all, he tried to present a reason why the request was unreasonable, why it would be futile to go ahead and do what's been suggested. Peter had a reason why he thought it would not be profitable to go fishing. I remember evangelist Bob Kelly years ago came to our church and he preached a message entitled, Excuses, Excuses, All I Ever Hear Is Excuses. I wonder if that's what God would like to say about us sometimes. Children, listen to me, children. I'm talking about those of you in master's clubs. Part of your master club training is to teach you the plan of salvation. Am I right, Brother Randy? I mean, you teach it right there in master's clubs. That tells me that 4th, 5th, and 6th graders are trained here to know how to win someone to Christ. You know what? You do not have to wait till you're a teenager to win somebody to Christ. There's been children, and there's some of them are sitting in this room that aren't in junior high yet, and they've won other children or people to Jesus Christ. But some children would say, well, you don't understand. I'm too young. I'll wait till I'm a teenager. Then they get to be teenagers, and they say, wait a minute. I can't witness. I'm too cool. I'll wait till I'm in my 20s and I'm not cool anymore, and then maybe I'll go soul winning. And then they get to a college age student and you say, hey, you need to win souls. Well, I would, but I'll tell you what, these college years are so busy, and man, all of the outside assignments, I don't have time for that. I'll do it when I graduate. And then they get married and you come to a young couple. Brother Jerry, you don't understand. We got small kids, and you know, I don't care where you're at in life. If you want to, you can turn it into an excuse. But the honest truth is, we're without excuse. You know what? Excuses never caught a fish. Never has caught a fish. Listen, I like the fact that Peter set aside his excuses and just obeyed the Lord. You know what obedience says? Obedience says this: I don't feel like it, but I will. I'm not sure it will work, but I'll go. I'm tired, and they fished all night. I'm tired, but I'll fish anyway. I'm busy, but I'll find the time. You know what obedience does? Obedience says, yes, there are excuses I could use, but I'm going to set them off the side and I'm going to be obedient to my Lord and Master. So number one, you cannot catch fish if you're not fishing. Number two, excuses never caught a fish. What else can we learn from this little story as Jesus miraculously allows this group of fishermen to see this unbelievable harvest? Here's another one. Jesus knows where the fish are. Jesus knows where the fish are. And I'm going to give you one of the most practical things you can learn as you try to develop into a soul winner. Jesus knows where the fish are. Now notice what he says here. In verse 6 he says, and when they had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. Now he told them, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. Now they had gone out there on their own and fished and didn't catch a thing. But Jesus tells them where to go and how many nets to drop. And you know what? The minute they obeyed him, guess what? They found the fish. Let me just give you a great, great, wonderful truth that's found in the Bible and taught in the Bible, and that's this. We ought to, as soul winners, go prayerfully. We need to be spirit-filled and spirit-led when it comes to seeking out souls for Jesus Christ. You know what? I don't always know where the prepared heart is, but God knows where it's at. And you know, I believe that God directs people to people. I believe there's people that I couldn't win to Christ, But you know what? You can win them to Christ, and he's going to burden your heart about them, and he's going to want you to go to them. And you know what? Sometimes, have you had this happen to you? Have you ever just, for some unknown reason, all of a sudden for a week at a time, just have a certain person on your heart all the time? I mean, 3 or 4 times a day, all of a sudden they just pop into your mind. Come on, we're Christians. We know better than that. If I all of a sudden hadn't thought about a certain person, or maybe I'm driving by a neighbor's house, and you know what? I haven't even hardly glanced at that neighbor's house, but now all of a sudden, every time I go by there, it's like God draws my attention to them. Do you understand that up in heaven, God can see everything that's going on this earth, and God is working circumstances in people's hearts, people that are lost, and there's key times, key moments in their life that I believe their heart is more tender than at other times. They're more reachable at other times. And God works all of these circumstances, gets them into this situation where they are open to the gospel. And you know what? He's trying now to get a Christian to be obedient and spirit-filled and spirit-led enough to be directed. Hey, the classic story, of course, is in the book of Acts, where the Spirit of God comes to Philip and interrupts a city-wide revival and says, I have a prepared person out in the desert. I need you to go with me. And he takes them, and a divine appointment happens. Why? Because a prepared heart, sitting in his chariot, reading the Bible, wonder what this is talking about, and God's moving in his heart. And here's a prepared, spirit-filled soul winner that has enough sense to listen to the Lord. Listen, I discovered this early. I discovered this in my college days, in my Chicago ministry days, that I had better be praying all week long as Saturday approached, because you know what? Chicago's a big, big city, and there are thousands of homes on my bus route. And you know what? I need to know this weekend where God wants me to go. And I took that very seriously. I cannot tell you how many times God laid on my heart a certain street or a certain block or a certain building. And sometimes the buildings, apartment buildings, would have 20, 30. And for whatever reason, I couldn't get a certain building off my heart. And you know what? I'd show up, and we'd go visit our regulars, and the workers would come to me, and they'd say, where do you want us to go soul winning? I don't know why, guys, but all I can think of is all week long, as I've been praying over the route, it's like God won't leave me alone about Sacramento Street. Let's go down there, and let's hit these two blocks. And how God would have people ready for us to talk to, ready for us to reach. Now, what I'm saying is, folks, listen, I can't always tell you where the fish are, and I can't tell you always where the good fishing is going to happen, but God, who is the creator of the universe, knows where every fish is in the ocean. You know, and he knows where every soul is, and he knows the ones that are prepared. Now, listen, there's never a bad place to go or a bad time to go, and you ought to give the gospel to everybody that you can. But you know what? I do believe God orchestrates certain events to happen in the life of individuals. Have you ever won somebody to Christ when you honestly wanted to quit the block earlier, but God just wouldn't let you quit? And he drove you into that one last block. I don't know why. I really want to go home. This is a good place to stop. And you try to get in your car, and God's like, don't you stop yet. And you obey him and go back. I wonder how many times in my life, maybe I wasn't as sensitive to the Holy Spirit as I should have been. Maybe I did hear him, and the honest truth is I just gave into my carnal flesh, and I quit a block or a door before somebody that was waiting, that needed the gospel of Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is, listen, Jesus knows where the fish are. We visit systematically here. Our youth, young people, we go to each city. We visit that city systematically, because I believe in getting the gospel to every door. I think we need to get the gospel to every door. But even in the leading of that, as we are going to different towns, when I was a youth pastor here, I would pray all week long. And if God changed something, you know what? He had veto power over everything we did. And there's times that I was supposed to go to a certain town, and for whatever reason, I told our young people, you know what? I know this is going to mess us up, and it's not what's scheduled next, but all I know is we need to go here. Let's go. And almost inevitably, we would see why. Now, let me share this with you. There were times that God did that in my life, and you know what? I went, we knocked on that door, and I'm waiting for someone to come back with some great story, and you know what? Didn't seem like... But you know what? We don't know which door needed a track left on it that person needed to come back and find. And you know what? We may get to heaven before we find out why. I don't care. I don't always have to see. I don't always have to find the Ethiopian in the chariot. All I know is I better be sensitive to what God's trying to do, because God's orchestrating this whole thing. So Jesus knows where the fish are. Let me give you this thought. Jesus said to them, he says in verse 4, let down your nets. Notice that's N-E-T-S, plural. Let down your nets for a draw. And Peter answered, nevertheless, into verse 5, at thy word I will let down, T-H-E, that's singular, the net. Now notice this. I believe the principle Jesus was trying to teach these disciples was this. Boy, cast out several nets. Cast out several nets. Verse 4, let down your nets. Verse 5, I will let down the net. Verse 6, their net break. I think they lost some fish they could have got. You know why? They didn't listen. If a net break, that means some fish got out. They're calling for help. Here they come with another net. But how many got out? Now listen, I want to give you this, and let's just make sure that this always is what Blessed Hope Baptist Church does. We need to keep a lot of soul-winning nets out. We need to keep a lot of soul-winning nets out. Preacher, have you ever thought that we have too many ministries? You know what? That thought's never crossed my mind one time. But I can't tell you how many times I've wondered if we have enough. I'm always wondering if maybe one more net would catch the fish, a few more fish. We have a youth soul winning. Young people just went this afternoon. By the way, let me just share this with you. Brother Clancy came back. Brother Reiser's out of town, and Brother Clancy came back, and he was all excited. And the first thing he did was show me a card, and a 15-year-old girl got saved on visitation today. And by the way, that's happened now. Brother Reiser's mentioned this to me, and I keep forgetting to mention it. But that has happened for the fifth week in a row, where somebody on youth visitation has got to lead somebody to Christ. That's 5 weeks. Hey, can I tell you something? There's 5 souls that wouldn't have got saved if they weren't out fishing. But let me say this. That's just one net. Thank God for it, but that's one net, you see. Adult soul winning, that's another net. Our Sunday school is a net. Our children's churches are nets. You know what? We've got nets in about every town. They're red and white, and they run on diesel and gas. And we've got a net in Jacksonville, and we've got a net in Worthington, and we've got a net in Swiss City, and we've got a net in Lyons, and we've got a net in Marco, and we've got a net in Linton, and we've got a net in Pleasantville and Sanborn, and we've got a net over in Duggar, and we've got one in Sullivan. And matter of fact, did we throw a net over in Spencer? You say we're going to Spencer? Yeah, just hold on. We're going to make it to Indianapolis. You just give us time, all right? And Freedom, between there, we're hitting Freedom now. We want to start going into Farmersburg. We haven't yet, but this fall we're going to start in Farmersburg. We're going to start in Lewis. We've got we've got a net over here in Vicksburg. We've got a net over in Midland. We've got a net in Duggar. We've got a net in Sullivan, and we've got a net in Shelburne, and we've got a net in Hymera, and we've got a net in Colmont. I probably missed you know what? Let's throw as many nets as we can out. You know what's exciting? You watch these young people brought in, and I'm always interested to get the card and see which bus route they came from. And you know what? It's never just one bus route. One week there'll be a kid, one to Christ from Shelburne, then there'll be one from Linton, and then there'll be one from Lyons, and then there'll be one from Worthington. And you know what? It's just exciting. It's almost like, which net's going to catch a fish this week? And what I'm saying is, folks, we've got, well, listen, that's easy to say. Yeah, preacher, amen. Boy, I'm glad I'm a part of a church that casts out a lot of nets. Well, a lot of nets needs a lot of manpower. A lot of nets need a lot of manpower. You can't have one guy holding on to 15 nets. It just doesn't work that way. And so that's what we've got to do. How about jail ministry? That's a net. How about nursing home ministries? My goodness sakes, we've got 6 or 7 of them going on. Those are nets. Vacation Bible schools, nets. Our radio broadcast, it's a net. Our tape ministry, our webpage, gospel tracts, our gospel tract ministry and distribution, missions giving. You know, I got to thinking, and so I went and tried to find it real quick. But, man, I want you to be excited. Sometimes we just need to stop and count our blessings here and realize what's going on around here. I mean, realize what's going on around here. I've got, and I want to read this to you, and the first one on the list of our missionaries, Paul and Miriam Koblenz, to the Amish. You know, they went over to Wooster, Ohio, which is right outside the largest Amish settlement, old world Amish settlement in America. Here's their latest prayer letter. I just got it. It's August 17th. I don't know. Did Brother Reiser just read this one or not too long ago? I can't remember. Notice this. This is men, a couple that are trying to reach Amish people. Now get this. We're excited about what God is doing among the families in our in-Amish home Bible studies. Listen, we have 11 converts so far. Folks, you know what? I don't know what 11 converts mean in Mexico, but I know what 11 converts mean in Amish country. Let me tell you what it means. It's a miracle. Notice what he says. Most of them are committed to follow the Lord in believers' baptism. Of course, along with this kind of commitment comes strong family opposition. Please pray for them to be strong and courageous as they attempt to share their Savior with their parents especially. And it talks on down in the letter how they're already dealing with being shunned and ostracized out of the community. Because, you know what? Every time I take a mission envelope and put my mission pledge in it, I get to be a part of one of the hands that are holding on to that net over there in Wooster, Ohio, and winning Amish people to Jesus Christ. By the way, we're going to take a trip there next year, take whoever wants to go, and we're going to go help them for 2 or 3 days. Won't that be exciting? I just want to do this. You see, we've got a net because of our missions program in the Philippines. Wow, I spend way too much time in the Bible, amen? We have a net in Italy. Isn't that exciting? Blessed Old Baptist Church has a net in Italy. We have a net in Terryville, Connecticut, because of David and Esther Townsley starting a church there. And we've got a net in Jamaica. We've got a net in Eufaula, Oklahoma, rescuing boys that are a mess and getting them under the preaching of the gospel and getting them saved and getting their lives turned around. I don't know if you know this or not, but the ministry there in Calvary Ministries, in the Calvary's Boys Home, the brother that's down in Sellersville, I'm going blank, Bob Hamlin's son-in-law is... Jerry Harris, he was won to Christ, went to that boy's home, attended that boy's home, was won to Christ that boy's home, and pastors right here in the state of Indiana now. I mean, that's exciting. We got a part of this. We support two Christian radio stations. You know what that is? That's a 24/7 net that goes in three different communities here in Indiana, in our area, down in Evansville, and down into Kentucky. Three different radio stations. We have a net in Portugal. We have a net in Vanuatu. We have a net. By the way, we get to throw a pretty large net or have a part of it just by supporting Bearing Precious Seed that printed last year over 11 million copies of scriptures and scattered them across the globe, and we get a little part of that. That's exciting to me. In Africa, in Russia, in Mexico, here we go, in Brazil, South America. Brazil, South America. Got a couple, three nets down there. We got three nets in Australia. We've got nets in Haiti. We're going to get a report from Brother Fitzsimmons. We've got nets in the prisons through the Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. Isn't this exciting? We've got a net over in Japan, and that net's been there for a long time. And Brother Himes has been there, good night, 30-some years, I think, now. We've got a net reaching people that are unreached in the back hills of the Appalachian Mountains and through the Hodges and those ministries. And again in Australia, again in Brazil, again in Brazil. I don't have time to read all this. I mean, this is exciting, though. There's pages of it. We've got it in China. We've got them in Israel to the Jewish people. We got them down in Belize, South America. We've got them to the Hopi Indians over in Arizona. We've got a net into the French Polynesian Islands through the Morris family. Mongolia, we've got a net. You know what? I get a part of that every time I put money. I'm for missions giving. Do you understand that? You don't have to twist my arm. Are you kidding? Are you kidding? I get to be a part of this. Are you kidding? Man, I love this. The Dominican Republic, we've got a net. We've got a net to Senegal, Africa, Senegal, West Africa. We've got a net that's catching soldiers all over the globe through the worldwide military Baptist missions. We've got nets by supporting some of these veteran evangelists. You think of Brother Schindler, you think of Brother Hamlin, you think of Tom Williams. Every place he goes and every meeting he holds and every soul that's saved and every Christian that's reclaimed, you know what? Some of that is something that comes to us. Brother Schwenke is planting a church there in Virginia. Man, you know what? That's one of our nets. Isn't that exciting? And what I'm saying is I could go on. We got church camps, Christian church camps we support, Australia. We've got Thailand, Mongolia, Dominican Republic, I've already mentioned. We've got Brother Unger. I don't know if he uses a net or a shotgun, but he's either catching fish or gutting them. I'm not sure which, but he's doing something over there. I don't even know if I really want to know what Brother Unger's doing. But what I'm saying, and I missed some of them. I didn't get them. I'm just scanning. And look, what I'm saying is, folks, listen to me. The more nets, the better. Thank God we got a web page. It's a net. Thank God we got Sunday morning, Sunday school, Sunday night, Wednesday night preaching service. Just another net. Thank God for Operation Think of It. It's just another net. Why do we have youth revivals in church? Just another net. Just another opportunity. And again, I probably missed some ministries. But folks, listen to me. Let's keep the nets being cast out. Folks that are manning those nets, we need you. We can't have you go AWOL. We need you. Because there's fish that are going to be caught. And somebody's got to man those nets. So, number one, listen, you can't catch fish if you're not fishing. Number two, excuses never caught a fish. Number three, Jesus knows where the fish are. Number four, his plan is to throw out several nets. Number five, let me give you this. Catching fish should make you humble, not proud. Catching fish should make you humble, not proud. You know, it's amazing if you look there at the response there of Peter. Man, when all of a sudden he went out there and he kind of reluctantly obeyed. Hey, preacher, I don't know if I should go soul winning or not, because I'll be honest with you, sometimes my heart's not in it. Well, Peter's heart wasn't much in it either, but you know what? God still let him catch a lot of fish. Let me just look up here and let me help you with something, because I'm going to humanize this thing and maybe I can help you with something. Preacher, when's the last time you felt like going soul winning? Let me think. No. 07? No. 06? Let me think. No. 05? That's not exactly true. You know what? There is the newborn, new nature side of me that really gets excited about going. But there's the old carnal, worn out flesh side of me that just says, you know. But you know what? Even when my flesh has that stinking attitude and I go and obey God anyway, it's amazing how God still blesses what he's called us to do. He just blesses obedience. Now, when you win somebody to Christ, listen, folks, don't get all proud. Don't get all big-headed about it. That's not what happened to Simon Peter here. Verse 8 says, when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, depart from me, for I'm a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. Anything that we do around here that God blesses and we get to see some souls saved, man, you know what? We ought to just immediately say it was because of God. I don't know where the spotlight is, but I don't want to be in it. I don't know where the limelight is, but I don't want to be in it. I don't know what line you line up in to get credit, but I don't want to get in that line. I just want to work the work of him that sent me. And you know what? If that work gets blessed and people are looking for somebody to give credit to, I hope everybody involved just says, if you want to give credit to the Lord. Because without him, we wouldn't have a gospel story. Without him, we wouldn't have the physical strength or the middle brains to be able to do it. Without him blessing our feeble efforts, we'd never see anything done that lasted for eternity. Nothing more exciting to see God work. And I really, honestly, nothing more humbling than to realize that God uses people that are so inadequate and so carnal and so sinful sometimes and so everything that we ought not to be. And yet God says, you know what, they were obedient, they did what I asked them to do, and you know what, I'm going to use the word of God and its power to win somebody to Jesus Christ. If you want to lose the blessing of God, start taking credit for the results. If you want to lose the best blessing of God, start taking credit for the results. You want to see your bus route take a nosedive, just start walking around and beating your chest about how you're running more than somebody else, and it won't be long, your bus route won't be doing anything. What you better do is just realize God doesn't use us because of us. He uses us despite us. And anything that's good that's done is not because Jerry Ross. Don't you put my name on anything. No. Don't you mention my name. You mention God's name. All right? I mean it. Don't you do that. Let's just give God the credit. And then I want to give you this one last thought. Jesus, at the end of this lesson, that he knows what he's going to do. He's going to talk to them about catching men, but he gave them a little fishing lesson that they would understand before he did that. And the last thing that I think God teaches us is that from time to time, Jesus speaks to somebody's heart and says, I want you to catch fish full time. Catch fish full time. The vast majority of Christians, God will save you, and God will use you where you live, and God will use you in the workplace that he sent you in, and you will serve the Lord as layman. And you know what? That is not a second-rate position. If that's the will of God for you, then that's top shelf. And I mean that with all my heart. I mean it with all my heart. But every once in a while, we have to be open. Young people, are you listening to me? We have to be open to the idea that God might come and say, you know what? Why don't you just leave those nets, leave that boat, kiss Daddy and Mama goodbye, and why don't you just follow me and I just want you to spend your entire life doing what you just watched me do. And that's figure out where the fish is and catch as many as possible. Listen to me, young people. And again, hey, you know what? I don't believe back in the 70s we used to call them Mama called and Papa sent. Parents that pressured their kids into the ministry. You know what? We switched our tune. We preached against that. But then we had a bunch of kids pushing the ministry that I said was pastor called and youth pastor sent. And you know what? It don't make any difference if you're doing it because you're pressured into it. It still don't make any difference. But let me say, having said all that, and we don't do it around here, I dare you, in the 4+ years I've been pastor, I dare you to find one service, one sermon, where I put the kiboshes, where I put high pressure on our young people for full-time service. I don't have to do it. All I got to do is try to get them as right with God as possible and listening and obedient to do with whatever God calls them to do. And if I get them in that condition, God's well capable of calling somebody without my help at all. But I would be remiss if from time to time I did not mention from this pulpit to our young people, you need to stay tender. You need to stay open to what God might call you to do. Every one of these couples that I talked about that are now in the mission field or in full-time Christian work, at one time they were probably just a teenager growing up in a church somewhere. And you know what? At some point God came to them and said, I want you to be a missionary. I want you to be a preacher. I want you to be a preacher's wife. I want you to be an evangelist. And you know what? They listened to that, and they surrendered to that, and they began to pursue that. And you know what? God took them from there and led them where he wanted them to serve. And you know what? There's nothing better than the will of God. If the devil has ever come to you and said, you know what? You don't want to surrender to the will of God because, man, you'll miss out on so much. And you know what? Your will is going to be so much better than God's. And you believe that? Then, you know what? Honestly, all you've done is fallen for one of the worst lies that the devil's ever cooked up in hell. Because there's not a one of us that are capable of coming up with a better life than the one God has planned for us. Never a one. Never a one. I've never run into an old veteran pastor, an old veteran preacher, preached for 30, 40 years, that looked at me and I said, hey, give me some advice. Oh, quit now, son. Quit as quick as you can. Wasted my life serving God and winning souls. Just quit. But I can't tell you how many times I've talked to somebody who came to me. I didn't go to them. They came to me. Maybe an older man, and he came to me and said, hey, when I was a young preacher, I can think of this happening. This happened probably 8-10 times in my life. Where somebody somewhere is going to be and say, young man, you keep preaching the gospel. You keep preaching the word of God. When I was your age, I was a preacher, but I threw it away. Or when I was your age, God called me to preach, but you know what? I decided I had a better idea. And you know what? They're never happy. They're never glad. They're always brokenhearted that they make that decision. You know why? Because I don't care all the glimmer and all of the glamour that the Satan wants to... you know, try to hypnotize you with. It doesn't take you very long. Come on, anybody in their late 30s, probably into your 30s at all, 40s, you know what you figured out by now probably? This old life don't have a lot in it. It don't have a whole lot in it. And even if you got everything that you could imagine, you know what, at the end of your life, you'd be like Solomon writing the book of Ecclesiastes.
Right.
I don't care if you won the lottery tomorrow, at the end of your life, you'd be like Solomon writing the book of Ecclesiastes. Vanities and vanities. You know what, in the end, we all come to the same end. And you realize that life's a vapor. It comes, it goes so quick. And honestly, when you get down into your life some and you start looking back, what's important is not what kind of car you drove or what kind of house you lived in or how much money you got to walk around with in your wallet. It really is how many people I was able to influence for the cause of Christ, how many people I was genuinely be able to influence and make a difference in their life. And so we've been here 1 hour and 1 minute, but I think God wanted us here for a reason. I think God wanted to stir the church. Folks, listen to me. We cannot get sidetracked. This is the main thing. Reaching souls for Jesus Christ. Hey, get in on it. Get involved with it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I would ask, Lord, you'd just take this little lesson that you taught us in the scriptures about fishing. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to realize, Lord, that if we're not careful, we used to be a fisherman, but we're not. And if we aren't fishing, we're not catching. Lord, I pray that you'd deal with our hearts concerning whatever excuses we may be using. And I do understand that sometimes, Lord, we might have to change a ministry or change a way we were doing it, but no one ought to just not do it. And so I pray that you'd help us, Lord. Thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that so lovingly, and if we'll let him, so directly leads us in this matter of soul winning. Help us to be sensitive to that. And Lord, I pray that not a one of us, when you do choose to use us from time to time, will ever become proud, begin to take credit of something we couldn't do. There's no way we could do it if we wanted to do it. Only God can save a soul, and only God can touch a heart. And Lord, I pray that you'd help our young people to always be sensitive to what God might be doing in their life. Boy, at the end of this fishing lesson, Jesus looked at four young men and said, "Follow me. Henceforth thou shalt become fishers of men." They left their nets, left their boats, and they followed Jesus. And Lord, I never know when that might happen or could happen in a person's life. And Lord, that's really business that needs to be conducted between you and every individual. But I pray that we wouldn't be at least open to it. And Lord, tomorrow, help us to be open to fishing opportunities. And the next day, wherever we go, help us to look for opportunities to be fishers of men. We pray these things in Jesus' name.